A back-breaking loss for the Red Sox against their arch-rival New York Yankees. Sox fall 2-1 in 10 innings against the Bronx Bombers thanks to a walk-off RBI single by Juan Soto. That brings in John Birdie, who is pinch-running for Gleyber Torres, and it comes against Josh Winkowski. And once again, this Red Sox offense lets down the pitching staff. Only one run on four hits, the one run coming on a solo shot by Danny Jansen, of all people, who came into today three for his last 35 with no extra base hits. And the Sox once again just have trouble scoring. That has absolutely killed them down the stretch of this season. And it's a part of their game that helped them get to this point, that they were in playoff contention, that they were actually a buyer, even if it was not being a heavy buyer, but they were a buyer at the trade deadline in large part because this offense could bang. And right now, they can't. They have had trouble scoring runs so many times, especially recently. And I think what really stood out to me, Alex Spear put out a great article. This was roughly 2 days ago. Came after the loss two nights ago against the Orioles. And the Sox, he mentions this in the article, the Sox had scored three runs or fewer in 14 of 19 games. So that was two nights ago. Yesterday they put up five runs, and they had to do so because it went into extra innings, and Tyler O'Neill hit that three-run home run. But now you add on tonight, they have scored three or fewer runs in 15 of their last 21 games. And if you want to take a stab at what the record is in the 15 games, I'll give you a moment right now to think about it. Whatever you came up with right there, I'm sure it wasn't good. The reality of that, it isn't good. They're 2-13 in those games. Last 21 games, again, they've scored three or fewer runs in 15 of those games. And the Sox
not
are
great.
Not great. 2-13 in those games. And the Sox this year, they have struggled to win these types of games where they don't score. And you could say that for pretty much every team in Major League Baseball, but the Sox to this extreme, they are 8-50 now in games in which they score three or fewer runs. So they don't win a lot of these games where they don't score. Some teams can because of their pitching staff. And, you know, so many times, especially in the second half, we've talked about the bullpen and the struggles of the bullpen. You can't pin this game on them. They did fine. Cooper Criswell, I don't think he was dominant. But, you know, again, he fought through it and I thought probably shouldn't have been taken out. 86 pitches, that was all he was at. Well, allows one run in 5 1/3 innings. It's just frustrating that the offense, a part of this team that had been so good for so long, has absolutely cratered down the stretch. Yes, I know they scored 12 runs three nights ago. But it just hasn't been good enough. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. Zach Coe behind the glass. Joe Weil with the year inside the WEEI Red Sox studios. But the question now is, was that it? They're 4.5 back with 15 games to go. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I, in my own mind, will not completely give up on this season if the Red Sox are within that 3-game threshold of the Minnesota Twins going into that series at Fenway Park next week. They got three more here coming up against the Yankees in this series. And then after that, they'll have an off day. They travel to Tampa Bay and play three against the Rays at Tropicana Field. So I'm not going to allow my brain to get there. I won't allow my heart to get there, actually. But my brain is telling me that this is probably it. I just think that this team has been too inconsistent. And I think Will hit on this in pregame well. You know, part of the reason we still talk about the Sox being in postseason contention is because of how mediocre the rest of the American League is, and specifically the wild card part of it. You know, these teams that the Red Sox are kind of bungled together with the Tigers, the Mariners, all within a game of those two teams at this point. Half game back of Seattle, and now a game back of Detroit. But again, 4.5 games back of the team that they are trying to jump in the Minnesota Twins. It's looking bleak. And again, the offensive part of it is a killer. Trevor Story, I mean, it's incredible that he is back on this roster, considering where we thought he would be. We thought his season was done. But he had some opportunities to help this team win tonight with the bat. First and second, one out in the fourth inning. Doesn't get the job done. Grounds into a 5-3 double play. Then, later in the game, and I thought this was the spot. I really did. I thought this was the spot. First and second with one out. Ninth inning. Chance. You know, the Yankees did not go out and take this game. They didn't. It ultimately fell in their lap when the Red Sox didn't score in the 10th inning. Because, as I hit on it in the Nissan postgame show, you go into the bottom of the 10th inning, and the game's still tied, and you have to deal with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. And I got to give credit to Austin Wells, because I think he's a good player, too. I don't think he's Rookie of the Year. I would still have Willy Abreu over him. But he's a good player. So I look at the moments that they could have seized in this game, and I just think about where this team offensively has sort of cratered to. Now you go back to August 23rd, they've had the third worst strikeout rate in the sport. Tonight they strike out again 13 times, and Joe and Will hit on it right before they ended up signing off. That has been a huge problem for this group, especially recently. And I want to talk about it with all you guys. Calls are rolling in right now, 617-779-7937. The number to call in here for Red Sox Review. You can also text us at 37937. And we will go to the calls. We'll take a quick break. We will get to all of your thoughts, the calls, the texts, right after this on WEI.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, the way Will's voice rose there, I really thought they were going to get John Birdie at the plate. And especially because the ball got hit out to Sadon Raffaello. But instead, he comes in to score. So it's Juan Soto who delivers the walk-off hit. And the Yankees take it over the Red Sox. 2-1 in 10 innings at Yankee Stadium. So the Sox are now 4.5 back with 15 games to go. And that was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a card that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Just not a lot of positives to take away from tonight. And that's because the offense, once again, did not come through. Just one run on four hits. Danny Jansen hitting the lone home run of the night, and that was the lone run of the night, and they strike out 13 times as well in this one. And for those who are keeping track of where the Sox are at from the strikeout perspective, they have now struck out 10 or more times in each of the last four games with the 13 strikeouts tonight.
This is not great.
No, it's not, Will. Zach Coe behind the glass, doing fantastic work as always. Joe Wild with you. Let's get the calls rolling. And by the way, if you want to call in, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We got everybody lined up. We started off with Glenn from New Orleans. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, Joe. Nice talking to you again. You hit on it with the strikeouts. You can't expect to win games when you're striking out 10 or more times. And they go after pitches that aren't strikes at any point during the pitch. They just swinging wildly. Right now, Devers may be hurt, I guess. Casas and Story, they look like they're in spring training. They don't have the timing down, and now's not the time to be fooling around. I'd rather see David Hamilton play. I'd rather see Valdez play. I can't believe I'm saying this, but, you know, the strikeouts are just killing them. And, yeah, the outfielders have some good arms, but they are not accurate, especially Abreu. When he lets go, you have no idea where it's going to end up. So, anyway, tough loss. They had their opportunities, and they couldn't come through. So,
Glenn,
see you tomorrow.
All righty, Glenn. Check in tomorrow. Okay, and he just hung up right after that. He got what he needed to get out of his system, and then let go. I agree with everything there except for Willy Abreu, although, yes, Willy Abreu can get wild with his throwing in the outfield, but he's pretty fantastic out there in the outfield. Everything else, I agree with what Glenn said. And the offensive part of it, the strikeouts, that has been a killer. The one thing that's interesting about this strikeout part of it, and again, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. The Sox, for the most part this season, had been in the bottom five in the sport in strikeout rate. But they'd gotten away with it because they did so many other things well. You know, they were hitting for power. They were hitting gap to gap. They were stealing bases, too. So they were making things happen on the base paths that they were able to mitigate that strikeout rate. For the most part, especially when the offense was rolling, that strikeout rate, it wasn't as if it was like a top 10 strikeout rate in baseball. It was more middle of the pack when they were really at their best. But again, they were doing so many other things that they were doing just fine offensively, even though they were still swinging and missing and just striking out a lot in general. Now, the irony of this season, and this is a thought that just creeped into my head, as it's related to the Sox offense. And Zach, I actually want to get your thoughts on this because you were chiming in or you were talking to me about this when we were off air. The irony is that we were hoping to get Tristan Casas back. We were hoping and then couldn't believe that Trevor Story was coming back. And the reality is these two guys just haven't delivered. In tonight's ball game, I put it more on Story than Casas because Casas didn't even start this game. But here we were lamenting for a time period after both these guys got hurt, thinking about, okay, what could this team look like without or with these two guys? And now what is it going to look like without them? Well, what ended up happening is the Sox were filling the void offensively without those two guys for a significant portion of this season. And the Casas part of it just continues to baffle me because he looks so good coming off the IL immediately after coming off the IL, and now he's slumping. Devers, we know he's banged up. He's now gone 14 games without a home run, which is a stretch that is longer than we'd ever expect of him in his career, or this year, which had been a career year for him. But Trevor Story, I think from, you know, the perspective of how hard he works, how happy I am for him that he is back, I think it's all great. I just wish that he could be productive at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, honestly, I kind of just want to see Christian Campbell up here to see what he can do for the last couple weeks and, like, just shut Story down.
But he got hurt in his last game at Worcester. Was he back in the lineup tonight?
I actually didn't see if he was back in the lineup tonight. I know yesterday that Chad Tracy said that it was just, like, a pulled muscle or something. He might get the day off today, but nothing lingering. But, like, I mean, Story's just giving you next to nothing. And I know we have a couple callers lined up for it. But that contract is just, it's really, really bad. And it's really going to hamper them if he continues to play like this. But on Casas, that's kind of why I was reluctant to get rid of Dom Smith. Because you DFA Dom Smith, I think he's in AAA with the Reds now. And Casas obviously isn't getting things done at the plate. And who else do you have that you can play there? Like, we're playing Connor Wong there and then putting Danny Jansen in at catcher. And Jansen's been terrible, too. So it's just one of those things where if you had Dom Smith, maybe that Casas could get more of a breather to try and get right again because you have a guy that can play first base and was producing for you.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the vibes were high, too. Remember how high the vibes were with Dom Smith?
Yeah, the sign that got taken away and then the sign guy's redemption. I mean,
yep. It was all there. I know we had Sign Guy on the broadcast, or he was in the booth, which was awesome. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Alan in Florida. He wants to talk about Trevor Story. What's going on, Alan?
I do, but I just want to start off by saying, and I'm going to continue to say, this is an organization that traded Mookie Betts, and I said it was going to set them back 10 years. Well, they got Alex Verdugo. I mean, anyway. And the reason, you know, I'm sick of hearing how this team overachieved this year. They overachieved because all the years I've been following baseball, this American League is so pathetic, and that they had a chance to make the playoffs and they blew it with these horrible teams. Minnesota keeps losing every day. Kansas City lost 7 games in a row. And, you know, and the Red Sox didn't get anything. Now you have Trevor Story. When he was a free agent, by the way, his last year in Colorado, he had 20 home runs. He was always hurt. And when there were a whole bunch of shortstops, you know what? They were all gone, all gobbled up. This one was gobbled up. That one was gobbled up. But Trevor Story was there, and the Red Sox were forced to take him. He's been a stiff his whole career.
Wait, Alan, I want to push back on that part of it. I want to push back on that part of it because I'm just going to – let me just rattle this off, and then you can keep going. But just to push back on the lack of availability for Trevor Story prior to coming to the Red Sox, he played 145 games in 2017. 2018, he played 157. 2019, he played 145. 2020, he played in 59 of 60 games. And then the year prior to coming to the Sox, he played 142 games. So that.
And how many home runs did he hit in Colorado?
He hit.
His last year.
His last year, he
20.
Hit 24, but he had a 471 slugging percentage and an 801 OPS. Wasn't as good as his best
years. Wow, in Colorado?
Yeah, no, I understand that. Alan, I understand that part of it. I think, but to me, what's so frustrating is that he was available in Colorado. And that's where I'm just pushing back there because I just rattled off the game totals. I mean, he posted. But go ahead.
And what's the thing without any kind of spring training or anything like that, he's just going to automatically, because I'm ready to play. And you know what? He's really cost him. He cost him tonight. He's cost him before. Well, I mean, this organization, you know what? They're coming back now. They did overachieve certain plays during the year, and they're all coming back to what they really are. Mainly, other than a few of them, Duran had a great year. Okay. They're a bunch of utility players, and they scraped the heap. They got a little lucky with some of the starting pitching during the year. This is not a playoff team this year. What's going to happen in the future when these other teams go out and get players in the Red Sox? You said they were proactive in the
I said deadline. Yeah. I said very proactive
with what they got. Well, they all ended up on the
Yeah, Alan. I said, and Zach is my witness here. I said that they bought, but it was saying that they slightly bought.
They bought the same thing. I hate to use the word garbage, like they did all year. That's all they ever do. That's what they're doing now. This is the Boston Red Sox, and it's disgraceful. As again, I'm going to go back. I don't want to be repetitive, but when they lost Mookie Betts, it set this team back 10 years, and I'm going to go with that. And I mean, a superstar that grew up in your own organization, and they got rid of him. And you know what? If this was ever New York, they would have gotten booed out of the city. They got away with it.
I agree. I listen.
What happened to Chaim Bloom?
Yeah,
he got booed out of the
right,
city.
Right. That's true. And
it wasn't high. You know what? I don't like Chaim Bloom, but let's face it. It was John Henry. You know, I mean, Chaim Bloom didn't go and say, I'm trading Mookie Betts. Like, Henry said, get rid of him. I'm not paying him.
They but had Kansas, to.
Right.
Alan, appreciate the call. We just got to duck out. So thanks for the time. And again, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937. We're going to hit a quick break, but Mike, Pablo, Philip, and everybody else, hang tight. We will get to all you guys coming up next here on WEI. All right, back here on Red Sox Review, breaking down a 2-1 loss, 10 innings to the New York Yankees tonight. It was Juan Soto with a walk-off single for the Bronx Bombers, bringing in John Birdie. It's Josh Winkowski who gets hung up with the loss, but that's not the story. It is the offense once again tonight that just doesn't produce outside of a home run by Danny Jansen in the fifth inning. One run on 4 hits for the Sox tonight. And I hit on this stat before, but it's the 15th time in the last 21 games in which the Sox have scored 3 or fewer runs. So they're 2-13 in those games. And the reason being, when you don't score, more times than not, you're going to win, not going to win those types of games. And it only hurts even more now because the Sox playoff hopes were slim coming into the night. Now they're even slimmer, 4.5 back with 15 games to go, trailing the Minnesota Twins for that third wild card spot. If you want to get your calls in, 617-779-7937.
Again, 617-779-7937. You can also hit us on the text line as well, 37937 as well. Zach Coe behind the glass doing great work as always. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Mike in Buffalo. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know which. I can't say much more. I'm just, you know, I'm just baffled over this. The pitching has been fine this month. And, you know, everybody's talking about all these players, Duran, Abreu, Cassis, the guys down there. We don't know. And if Devers has, this is Devers, what, second or third year with the bad shoulders? He looks horrendous. And he shouldn't be playing if he has problems. And Story will never, hit a lick in Boston. So I'm tired of the pitching. No, they don't even have a number one starter. But they've had good enough pitching to win, you know, I can think of 8, 9, 10 games. I don't know. I don't have any faith yet. Nobody's proven anything to me. Cassis hasn't proven nothing to me. Duran's had a good year. See what he's done the last 7 or 8 games. He can't get out of his own way. So, I mean, you know, he's had a good year and all that. I don't know if what do you think these guys down there? And I mean, everybody praises these guys. I don't know. Are they going to make it? I don't know.
Mike, I feel good about the prospects in Worcester. I don't know if all of them are going to make it. This could be crazy. I might be getting ahead of myself here, and I'm going to fully admit that before I say what I'm going to say. The prospect that I right now I'm the most worried about is Marcelo Meyer, just because of the injury stuff. This is two straight seasons in which his year has ended due to an injury. Kid Roman Anthony, he's number one now. He's a top prospect in minor league baseball.
I see that.
He's a total stud. He seems like he's going to be a total stud. I think we all have to be patient when he comes up and has to deal with big league pitching. He looks great. This kid Christian Campbell, who wasn't in the lineup tonight, he had to leave the game yesterday. He's been awesome as well. This is a guy that's like really come onto the scene this year and has just mashed level by level. I feel good about him. I feel good about Kyle Teal. You know, do the Sox decide they want to platoon the catcher position between Wong and Teal? I think he'll be a productive big league player. But, Mike, I think the thing that you're hitting on, and this is the reality of just Major League Baseball, you can't just completely build from within. You need outside help, and the Sox
absolutely, you're right.
Yeah, and the Sox are going to need some outside help. The only thing I was going to push back on you there, with Devers with the shoulders, and Zach, I saw you shake your head as well. I don't remember the shoulders being a thing for Devers. I'm looking at his injury history right now.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm wrong then.
Zach, you don't remember any shoulder stuff, do you?
No, I'm looking at the injury history, too. Fox Sports says that there was left shoulder inflammation in July of 2018.
Okay.
So he was only a platoon player back then, too, so nothing major.
Okay, fine. I could be wrong. I'm almost 76 years old.
I appreciate
I'm getting old.
Listen.
Go Bruins, go Patriots, go Celtics.
There you go, Mike. Way to represent out there in Buffalo, and we appreciate
it. Well, you know, I went to New Hampshire when I was 5 years old. My grandfather was listening to the Red Sox.
There you go.
Then I had the Bruins and I had the Celtics. Of course, I get killed here in Buffalo being a Patriots fan. Yeah, and they're winning big tonight against Miami.
Yeah, but you know, you've gotten before this recent stretch, you got the last laugh many a time against them. So they're having.
I guess I have. A good thing. Otherwise, I'd probably be a Buffalo fan, would be bad for me. Hey, thanks for all the time.
Of course, Mike. Appreciate it as always. Let's go back to the phones. And I do love hearing from Mike in Buffalo. He's always a good time. Let's go to Pablo in Providence. He wants to talk about Trevor Story. What's going on, Pablo?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
I wanted to talk about Trevor Story, but I just to get back on that Rafael Devers, I remember back in the playoffs, I think in 21, that he had some injuries against the Rays, and it was his shoulder. So that might be the other guy was thinking about.
Yep.
On Trevor Story, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, the problems that he had at the plate, but I think that if we had Rafaela at short and we had Duran in center on that last play tonight, I think they don't send the runner, or I think he's out at the plate. So I think that Trevor Story is really hurting us in a lot of ways. I think that Rafael's best position is shortstop, and it really sets us back too, I think, going forward into the future, because I think you mentioned Marcelo Meyer, he's a shortstop. So there's a big logjam, and I think that ownership's solution to that logjam is to trade one of our promising young guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Duran is out the door at the end of the year in the off season, or somehow they trade Rafaela, you know, because of the logjam that's right now and really into the future. I mean, I think Trevor Story he's messing everything up I appreciate that he's a hard worker and he wants to play and all, but he's really, you know, impeding the progress of the team, I think, just by being on the roster.
Yeah, so Pablo, a couple of interesting things there, and I do appreciate the call, and thanks for noting the part about Rafael Devers. You're right, he did deal with some shoulder issues there, and that was something that he had to deal with during the 2021 postseason run for the Sox. So he hits on a couple of interesting things. Let's start with the shortstop position. Now, Seydon Rafaela, he is statistically a much better outfielder than shortstop. Outs above average, he is among the best outfielders, among the best center fielders at that position. Shortstop, he's actually in the minus in terms of outs above average at that position. So I will say the only thing about that is that with the eye test at shortstop, I feel like he has looked better out there than what the advanced metrics say. Not to say he's been great at shortstop, but he's made some really nice plays. And of course, he's helped stabilize that spot. To me, with Story, I do think, though, the biggest story is the offense. And with one of the previous callers, you know, talking about what he did in Colorado, yes, you could say, okay, that Coors Field aided that offensive production. But one of the reasons I was excited about the Sox bringing Trevor Story on board was because of what he provided offensively in his years in Colorado. OPS-wise, as a rookie, you know, 97 games, 909 OPS back in 2016. You know, he had years of 914, 917 OPSs as well. And, you know, again, it's just with the Sox, he really hasn't performed offensively. Timing and injuries are such a big part of it. But it's frustrating to have somebody that you're investing so much money into, one, not be able to post. I mean, this was his 150th game with the Red Sox in three seasons. 150th game in three seasons. And you've had to deal with the same thing now back-to-back years where you've missed him for a significant amount of the season. Then he's been rushed back, so to speak, and he hasn't delivered offensively. Last year, he hit .203 in 43 games with a .566 OPS. And tonight, you know, again, he doesn't get the job done in some key spots. He goes 0-4 for the night. So that means he's now 10-49 this year. It just hasn't been good enough. And yes, it's a miracle he's back. And I don't question his effort. I don't question his will. And sometimes you do that with athletes. And with Trevor Story, I don't do that one single bit. But the reality is he just hasn't produced. And it's frustrating to watch knowing that he hasn't been able to play. But on top of that, when he's actually been out there, he just hasn't delivered offensively. And it's a big question as to what these Sox do, you know, in terms of the front office decides to do as it's related to that shortstop spot with Marcelo Meyer waiting in the wings. You know, he'll get healthy again. And then what do you decide to do with that position? Now that you have Seydon who can play it competently, and then you have this guy, Marcelo Meyer, you know, waiting in the wings. It's a fascinating discussion about next year. And as it's related to the prospects, I mean, there's so many different ways this front office can go about it. I am so fascinated to see what they decide. Let's go to one more phone call, and then we'll duck out for the rest of the night. And he's been hanging very patiently. Let's go to Philip in Mendon. He wants to talk about upper management. What's going on, Philip?
Hey, good evening. And I think let's call it like it is. You know, unfortunately, the management team led by John Henry, the Fenway Group, the Major League Baseball team, our Red Sox, Premier Liverpool, English Soccer, National Hockey League. They bought the Penguins, NASCAR. Now they're in the Boston Common Golf League. It comes down to management. And remember, in the off season, Sam Kennedy and the owners, what were they going to do? Spend big.
Full throttle.
Well, that didn't come out. Right. Full throttle. Well, when your club doesn't make the playoffs in several years, and it's year after year, I know what's happened. You've got to be up front with the Boston fans. What's going on? Let me tell you, because I'm a fan. I have been over the years. But the thing is, it's a business, and they're not going to do it. The other problem as far as getting talent, okay, we have the number one prospect, Roman Anthony. He could be out, to be a real, the new Mookie Betts or whatever, maybe. But again, this club, no talent. L.A. Dodgers, look what they spent. Crazy money, all right? But look what they spent. Same with the Yankees. We're like the Tampa Bay Red Sox. Very frustrating. Look at this team. The trades were bad, and the dumpster diving. It just can't continue. And you know who's also having another situation? It was on YouTube, and the St. Louis Cardinals. The fans are basically upset with the management. Their tickets were going for zero with only a $2 fee. And they said, if you go on YouTube and look that up, and St. Louis is another great baseball town. I think the fans are just, I wouldn't buy the tickets until they improve. But how many more years? You've got a great upcoming, the catcher, Roman Anthony, so forth, coming up from AAA, the Whistler Wolf Sox, but fantastic. But there's no pitching. What are you going to do? Unless you sign the high-level free agency pitching, if there's out there, whatever's going to happen. But if they're going to run it for a business and you've got to look at the shareholders, it comes down to the money. So that's what John Henry and that group is. Let's not be fooled. And we're going to go through this whole situation. I don't see, unless we get the pitching, we're going to go through it for the next several years.
Yeah, I listen, and Philip, I appreciate the call. And that buzz was hanging as well with Philip. And Philip had been hanging for tight for quite some time. So I appreciate him getting his thoughts out there. And yeah, I mean and we've hit on it. Zach and I doing these shows. Cooper Boardman, I know he's touched on it as well as with his post game shows. Right, the spending in the off season kind of set the tone for where we're at. I mean, would you be shocked telling somebody, in the past, if you were the person in the future to say, oh, this team's going to be 74-73, 147 games into the season, they'd be like, yeah, that kind of checks out with where this roster was at. They're going to need to add, and they're going to need to figure some things out. I mean, the problem with where we're at now is the list seems to be growing a bit in terms of what the Sox need next year. Bullpen help is actually, in my estimation, even though that wasn't the main culprit tonight, that is climbing the list. There are a lot of unknowns about this bullpen next year. So do you spend a lot there? Do you spend a lot on the starting pitching side? And then offensively, we know about the right-handed part of it. That's going to need to be figured out. Do you ultimately re-sign Tyler O'Neill? Do you extend that qualifying offer? Do you try to add somebody else? Do you ship a prospect or two out for a big name that's going to help one part of this ball club? We're starting to get to that point in terms of asking off-season questions, because the loss tonight, Yankees taking it 2-1 over the Sox in 10 innings. We're getting closer and closer to that point. 4.5 out, 15 games to go in the wild card standings. And we'll see if the Sox can bounce back tomorrow, but time is running out. You know that. I know that. We'll see if this team can find a way to give us something to cheer about down the stretch. Thank you to all the callers. Great calls tonight. And also thanks to Zach Coe, as always, behind the glass, man in the board, giving his opinions, rocking that curly hair, making bad bets too.
Am I ever?
Every night.
Not a good night.
You bet on the Nationals, guys. That's all you need to know.
Just the team total. They didn't have to win.
Doesn't matter. But he's doing great. He's done great work. Always does great work. I'm Joe Wild. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review. Have a great night.